The first reading this evening may be found on page 1030 of the Bibles in the pews. The temptation of Jesus. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the desert, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during these days, and at the end of them, he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone." The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, "I will give you all their authority and splendor, for it has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. So if you worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." The devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered, "It says, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished all this tempting, he left him until an opportune time. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. He taught in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom, and he stood up to read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began by saying to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." This is the word of the Lord.
Tonight's second reading can be found on page 1196 of the Pew Bibles. This is Paul's second letter to Timothy, chapter 3, beginning to read at verse 10. Paul's charge to Timothy. "You, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecutions, sufferings, what kind of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, the persecutions I endured. Yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. while evildoers and impostors will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Derek and Les. Les started the school which I left in 1958. In 1966, you wouldn't have thought there was such a big gap, really, but there is. It's just one of those things. I would like to look at four individuals tonight, to look at Isaiah, to look at Jesus Christ, our Saviour, to look briefly at Timothy, and to look at William. He's not in the Bible, but we'll look at William, find out a little about him. But I'd like to start off by looking at that verse from Luke chapter 4, which of course is taken from the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 61. Let me read it. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he's anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom to the prisoners and recovery of sight to the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour. Well, here we are. Jesus is in the synagogue at Nazareth. I understand from reading that Nazareth was a big place. It wasn't a little village. There were probably around 20,000 people who lived there. And Jesus had been preaching in the synagogues, and he was invited to preach in the synagogue in Nazareth, which of course was his hometown. And he was invited to expound on the passage we've got on the screen. And he read it and finished by saying, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Wow. Wow, what a statement to make. At first, the people were really impressed, possibly because many of them would have known Jesus and they'd heard him before. Yet Jesus went on to say that they weren't really heeding what he was saying. They wanted him to do some miracles because he'd been carrying out miracles in Capernaum. But have they really understood Jesus? He's claiming that he himself is empowered by the Spirit. It's the Spirit working through him and in him, which is giving him that power. He's come to fulfill the scriptures. The Old Testament is about him. He has a message which will transform lives. It'll heal broken hearts. It'll release people from bondage. It will open blind eyes. We like, don't we, messages about society which bring change and liberty. We like to feel that liberty has been introduced and will be enhanced. Yet we don't always appreciate the way in which God works. Jesus is preaching good news to them by offering spiritual release. But their blindness is spiritual. They're caught up. And those in the synagogue that day finished up. by wanting to throw Jesus off the cliff. They chased him out. They chased him out. They were spiritually blind in spite of the wonderful words which he'd sat down to talk to them about. If we go back to the message of Isaiah, we can understand where Timothy comes from. Can we look at that second verse from that second reading? All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Our scriptures are very important. We have a Bible on the communion table to signify the importance of the Bible to the worshipping people in our four churches and other churches in the town too. The Bible gives us such useful information for our relation with each other, our relations with others where we live, in our country, in our world. I wonder if you remember those servant passages from Isaiah, not far away from the reading we had. Comfort, comfort my people. Prepare the way of the Lord. The glory of the Lord will be revealed. Here is my servant whom I uphold. I will put my spirit on him to be a light for the Gentiles, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. He was despised and rejected of men. We remember those from those servant passages in Isaiah's book, the prophet Isaiah. What a foresight he had. The Spirit of the Lord was upon him as he was writing those words. And here was Jesus who's repeating them. Jesus knew that they were important. So those words in that Old Testament prophecy link up with our New Testament. No wonder that Timothy emphasizes the importance of Scripture. Well, we've had Isaiah, we've had Jesus Christ, we've had Timothy, now we've got William. And I'm thinking of William Tyndale, quite a character. He's one of my favorite men from history because he did so much. Yesterday, I was looking at the list of vicars in the porch. I wonder if you've ever done that, going right back to the 12th century. I'm not absolutely sure that they would have been called vicars then, possibly parish priests, but let's call them vicars. It doesn't really matter. For 1,000 years, the language of the Bible had been Latin. It had become a sacred book and couldn't be questioned. In 1408, it was declared that to translate anything from the Bible into English was a capital offence. I wonder if we could have that third reading, please, Jeremy. Spiritus Domini, super me eo quod, unexerit dominus me ad admontiandum, mansuetis misit me ut medere contritis corde et praedicarum, captivus indulgentium et clausis apertionem. That's not my 1956 O-level Latin. That's Mr. Google, who provided that very well. But I was looking at round about the time that William Tyndale was busy and was translating, I was looking at four names on that list in the porch of parish priests in this church from 1445 to 1530. It would appear that John Ifield and Alan Branloff were probably working together. Their names appear together. And then there was John Barlow and William Bennett. I've no doubt that those men were godly men. They would have looked after the congregations in this place. And we have no idea really how those congregations would be made up. But I suspect there were people rather like you and me, with all our faults and all our blessings. But the services would have been in Latin. The Bible would have been read, but it would have been read in Latin. And William Tyndale said, I want everybody to be able to understand the Bible as it's written in the vernacular, so that he or she will be able to understand the words. And he said, I want even the ploughboy to understand. Now, he said the word ploughboy because that was a career where the lad, probably an 18, 19-year-old, would have been illiterate. And many of the people in the churches were illiterate. And Tyndale succeeded in translating, in spite of the fact that he wasn't supposed to do it, something like 90% of the New Testament from Greek into English, and later, when he was in the Low Countries, translating almost the whole of the Old Testament from the Hebrew into English. What a job that was. He had to leave England in 1524, fleeing to the Low Countries, where he was caught by spies and died by being burned alive, but not before he'd worked out that he could get printers to print the Bibles. He put them inside wine barrels or woolen blocks and sent them here. In fact, at one stage, the Bishop of London got hold of 6,000 of these Bibles and burnt them on the steps of St. Paul's. The Bishop of London wouldn't do that now, I'm quite sure. Well, we have free access to our Bible, just as Jesus had to the Scriptures. Our Bibles give us rules for everyday life in the best kind of ways. I pray that our Bibles are important. The verses of Scripture are important. Amen.